We went, Beau and I went away last from last Friday onwards for a week just to actually recover from having the all the hours we spent awake with the Koreans and stuff and everything went on. So we had a great rest away, and I've come back really fired up about the things of God. You know what? The reason the Korean teams, prayer teams, come to this nation is that they believe they are bringing logs to put on the fires of the embers of the fires that are already ticking over in this nation. To come here to put fuel on the fires of the presence of God, of revival power, of the things of God being able to be poured out in this nation. You know what? And our nation needs the fire of God to come and burn so bright that revival comes to our land. We are ripe for revival. And I tell you why, one reason we are incredibly ripe for revival is because we desperately need revival in this nation. Does anybody have any idea what the present estimates are of the percentage of the British population that actually goes to church on a Sunday morning? Any idea? I hear some low numbers. I hear 5%. I hear 1%. At the moment, somewhere around about 1.5% of the UK population goes to church on a Sunday morning. And that number is across the nation. And in London, because of the blessing on the black, on the African churches in London, that number, if we took away the African churches in London, that number would be way, way, way less. Isn't that incredible? Incredible, isn't it? If you work out that at 1.5% of the British population, we've got 57 million people in the country. What's 1.5% of that, Ian? Come on, you. Well, what have we got? We've got 60 million? 66 million. So let's say there's 800,000, 850,000, maybe tops, maybe a million people. Absolute 900,000 people around about go to church. They say that at the moment, over 50% of that is just in London. 50% of that is in London. We need the fires of revival to burn in our land. There needs to be a rallying cry needs to be heard in the heavenly realms. We're going to show a video. I'm going to show a bit of a clip of video out of Lord of the Rings. It's when, if those of you who know it, and some of you may not know anything about Lord of the Rings, this is when Gandalf and Pippin, they ride to, I think I've got the right word right, Minas Tirith or Drinith, Tirith. Where the main beacon that should be lit is there, and it's not burning. It's not a light. Gandalf says to Pippin, "Get up there, get up on that thing, and light that," because he knows that once that beacon is seen on the next mountain top, where the next beacon is, that will be seen, and it gets lit, and then it just gets lit. All the beacons will get lit until eventually, Aragorn sees it and realizes help needs to be sent. The Romans did the same sort of thing in this nation. Up and down this nation, there were beacons. Up and down the coastline, there were beacons everywhere that the Romans lit in particular ways to send messages really fast. And I watched a program a little while ago on, what's it called? The Coast, or it's just called Coast, isn't it? Where they actually reenacted these Roman beacons being lit. And the speed in which the message transferred was ridiculously fast. It was crazy, because as soon as it was seen, the next one was lit. The next one was bang, bang, bang. And the message went so quickly along a long distance. Let's look at this. Thanks, Yaku. The beacons are lit. You know, it's the same in our nation. The beacons of revival need to be lit to bring aid to our nation. You know, to change what it is now into what it needs to be, what God has always promised, what God is wanting to occur in this nation. Honey, could you flick all those lights on, please? You know what, the scriptures, this whole idea of fires, you know, the Koreans came to blow upon the fires of embers in this nation to cause fires to erupt, to actually, once a fire gets going, what needs to happen is it? The fires need to keep burning. The fire must keep burning. Scriptures present us with a variety of visible images which signify the presence and the action of God. And these signs include wind. You want me to pick you up there?
Okay.
Yeah, that's fine. They include wind. They include fire. They include breath. They include the living waters. And there's signs of fire throughout the scriptures that signify in real special ways God's holy presence, his power and his glory, as well as the purification and cleansing action of the Holy Spirit. What do you want? No, go to Mama, right? Go to Mama. You know, here are some examples of it. We see the burning bush in Exodus chapter 3. We see the pillar of fire in the wilderness in Exodus 13. We see the consuming fire on Mount Carmel in 1 Kings. We see the burning coal that purified the lips of Isaiah the prophet in Isaiah 6. In Acts chapter 2, we see the tongues of fire coming down at Pentecost. And in Hebrews 12, we see God's consuming fire in the new heavenly Jerusalem, Jerusalem. And today I want to look at one particular bit of scripture that relates to the priests and talking about out of Leviticus chapter 6 and going from verses 8 through 13. And it says this: Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Command Aaron and his sons, saying, This is the law of the burnt offering. The burnt offering shall remain on the hearth that is the altar all night until morning, and the fire is to be kept burning on the altar. The priest is to put on his linen robe with his linen undergarments next to his body. Then he shall take up the ashes of the burnt offering which the fire has consumed on the altar and put them beside the altar. Then he shall take off his garments and put on something else and take the ashes outside the camp to a ceremonially clean place. And the fire on the altar shall be kept burning. It shall not be allowed to go out. The fire on the altar shall be kept burning. It shall not go out. The priest shall burn wood on it every morning, and he shall arrange the burnt offering on it and offer the fat portions of the peace offerings up in smoke on it. The fire shall be burning continually on the altar. It shall not or be allowed to go out. You and I are now called to be high priests in the kingdom of God. That is the New Testament reality of what we are now. Since Jesus came and died on the cross, you and I now become a high priest of the kingdom of God. And we are the ones who are not allowed to let the fire of God go out. The fire of God must be kept burning in our lives, personally, first of all, because it's the very thing that helps sustain our soul and our spiritual life. There's a few things that are necessary for survival. Who would call out? What are those guys on TV? There is Bear Grylls and you went on one of his weekends, Simon. Ray Mears. And what do they all do? If you look at those programs, what do they talk about? The things that are necessary for survival: food, fire, shelter. And what did I say? Water? Water, food, shelter, and fire. They say, get those things sorted out. If you get those things sorted out, you're going to be okay. In fact, they say not even food doesn't come into it first of all. It comes under get a fire lit, find some water, build a shelter. That's what they say. Get those things going and sort it out. And you know what? And it's no different in our lives today. Life is sustained in the wild and in this world by fire. And in the same way, God's fire also sustains spiritual life in this world. Fire keeps us warm. The literal fire keeps us warm. It allows us to cook food. It allows us to boil water to purify it. It provides heat and it provides light in the darkness. It can be our distress signal if we're out in the wild. And even still today, fire in whatever form or whatever its origin is possibly the most valuable resource for living today. The boilers in our houses that keep our houses warm, that produce our hot water, there's a little fire in them. It's just that gas that comes through or oil that comes through to fire them. If whether you have a diesel car or a petrol car, every time your car goes, there's a little fire, a little explosion as such inside the engine of your car. Multiples, thousands of these little explosions going on, causing your engine in your car to keep on going. There's fires going on all the time that we are not aware of. We must have fire going on. Fire is mentioned, talked about over 500 times throughout the scriptures. And it's used as a symbol of spiritual life because it burns up sin. It purifies our soul. It was used to offer up worship to God. It was a sign. It was used as a sign of commitment to Him. And it sustains our spiritual life today. So how about if we talk about the practicals of actually starting a fire? What are some of those things? How do we start a fire? Well, it's all about preparation. We need to gather the firewood necessary for the fueling of a fire, first of all. It is a waste of time lighting a fire and having no fuel to put on it. Anybody ever done that? I need a fire. You light the fire and hang on, there's no sticks or there's no branches around. There's nothing to put on that. There's no old furniture. There's nothing. The fire, the little thing you've got going, goes out. A good rule of thumb, they say, is to work on a ratio of actually gathering about three times the amount of wood that you actually think you need. Flick that over into the spiritual realm a little bit. You know what? Because we need it and we will use it. The ground, if you light a decent fire, you need to get all the rubbish out of the way. You don't light a fire on top of rubbish. You don't. You clear the ground. In fact, if you're out in the wild, you might get something to demarcate the zone. And if it's grass, you might clear it away so you get down to the root, get down to the dirt so the fire doesn't spread beyond the boundaries you want it in. We read in Leviticus how the Lord gave detailed instructions on the preparation for the fire on the altar. They were to prepare for the fire. It was not just a random action. They had to actually follow after some preparation, some almost rules to follow after. It was not just a random thing that went on. They had to make sure that everything was ready for it. And if you read from Leviticus chapter 1 through chapter 9, you'll read all the details that were needed for the preparation. In essence, they were to build a fire pit which became an altar for the sacrifices. Stick with me on this, and I'm going to say to you, you're going to miss out on something if you detach and unlock from where I'm going this morning. You'll miss out on something incredibly vital, I believe, to where we are and where we need to go to at the moment. Here's a special note. They were to build it to God's specifications, not what they thought they needed to build. We always need to hear from God to do things, not just do it because we think it's a good idea. See, the area around the altar was to be kept clean and free of contaminants. In the same way, it is our responsibility to live lives that are free of the contaminants by being quick to acknowledge, quick to confess, and quick to ask forgiveness for the issues of sin that are inevitable in our lives. Face the fact, sin is inevitable in every one of our lives. I know some of you, I can tell by the overwhelming response I got from you all about that you don't believe me. But the reality is this, it is inevitable. No matter how sweet your face is, no matter how holy you look at me this morning and go, me, look at me. You know what? Don't be such a mug. Really, don't be. The fact is, you are a human being who is alive. You are not dead yet. Therefore, your flesh, will sin. Get over it. Get on with it. Face up to it. It's not going to cut you off. But you know what? Deal with it. Just deal with it. It's inevitable. Oh, but I don't do that. I don't look at pornography, Pastor. Yeah, but you know what? Your attitude sucks. You know what? And I hear your voice moaning about people. You know, yeah. So you know what? We all have issues. We need to deal with them. You know, it's as simple as that. Leviticus chapter 9, verse 24 tells us that the fire came out from the presence of the Lord and consumed the burnt offering. You know what? We cannot produce or manufacture the fire or the presence of God. We cannot produce that. But rather, our responsibility is for us to prepare for it. This fire, see, the fire of God would not come out, did not come out and light the fire, cause the fire to be lit, unless everything was prepared. God's presence did not come out until everything was prepared. Everything lined up, and then the presence of God came out, the fire, into action. How does this all pertain to prayer? Well, in Thessalonians 5 and 19, it states, do not put out the Spirit's fire. Well, question, how does a fire get quenched? Well, gets quenched by a whole lots of things, not the proper fuel. The proper fuel for keeping a fire hot and burning is fuel that is not rotten. Try and burn rotten wood on a fire, it really just smolders. It doesn't really produce any heat. It just sort of, it's just there. A fuel source that is not contaminated. 1 Thessalonians 5 through verses 12 and 24 lists the things that could put out the Spirit's fire. So we need to make sure we don't use these things as fuel for God's fire in our heart. It reads like this. Now we ask you, brothers, to respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard and love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. And we urge you, brothers, warn those who are idle, encourage the timid, help the weak, be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always try to be kind to each other and to everyone else. Be joyful always. Be joyful sometimes. It's a good starting place. Pray continually. Pray without ceasing. Have an attitude of prayer. That's all that means, have an attitude of prayer. Give thanks in all circumstances. I talked about this a few weeks ago. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything. Hold on to the good. Avoid every kind of evil. May God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. He will do it. It's as simple as that. Here's a few things in here. A number of things that could quench the fire. Verses 12 and 13. We must always give the right honor to those around us. We should be people who honor one another all the time. We should not be seen and heard as the people that take the mickey, the juice, gossip, whatever, out of other believers. We should not be the ones that are heard being critical just because we disagree with what somebody's attitude may be. Yuck. Or what somebody thinks or somebody's actions are. It's best that we zip it up because a critical spirit is not clever. Disrespect and dishonor towards our fellow believers, I believe, kills the fire of God in our hearts. Verse 14, it talks about warn those who are idle. You know what? What good way to kill the fire of God is to do nothing. It's to neglect the fire, we'll permit it to go out. It's got to be fed. It's the same as if you have an old-fashioned barbecue that's not a gas barbecue. If you don't prepare it right, if you don't feed it right, if you don't have that little electric blower that Yaku has to feed the fire with more oxygen, you know what? It doesn't produce the right amount of heat, the right amount of stuff to cause a good barbecue to occur. Doing nothing is going to put the fire out. Being joyful is good fuel for the fire. Verse 17, it talks about this. Pray continually. You know what? Prayer feeds the very fires of God. Prayerlessness quenches the fire of the Holy Spirit in our lives and in the things of God. If we look at that whole idea of the fire on the altar in the Old Testament, in Leviticus, when we talked about in Leviticus chapter 9, that burned for 860 years. 860 years it burned, from 1446 BC to 586 BC. And the only reason it went out was when Babylon overran the temple in Jerusalem. The ultimate reason that Israel was overrun was because they had embraced disobedience. They had worshipped other gods and idols and became detestable in the eyes of God. Disobedient, worshipping other idols and gods. You know what? God will never ever bless sin. End of the story. Never ever. That's why we need to deal with it. It's not about God being a cruel God or anything such thing. He is a good, good father. But the reality is if sin stops stuff occurring in our lives. It starts stuff, but it also stops stuff. It stops the good stuff and it starts the rotten stuff. And that's why we just need to deal with it. You know what? They had departed from God's ways and followed the path of disobedience through idol worship. And the result is that they embrace that which could be labeled as evil and that put out the fire of God. You know what? We need to make sure that we tend the fire of God, first of all, in ourselves, in the hearts of our beings, and feed it the right fuel so it will burn hot for Him, remembering to keep the fire of God cleansed in our lives. It's imperative that the ashes that are left over from a fire need to be removed daily. You know what? Because if the ashes, the muck from a fire is not removed, the fire gets choked. Ashes choke the fire. You do not leave all the ashes in your fireplace at home. You get the ashes out because if you leave them there, it chokes up the fire. If you have an old-fashioned barbecue, that's not a gas barbecue, you clean out those ashes because there's no room for the barbecue charcoal or whatever you're using to be able to be fed by air and oxygen getting into it. They're instructed to take out the ashes out of the camp and dispose of it properly outside of the camp. Talks about in our lives of dealing with the rubbish that's in our lives. The fire which started by the Holy Spirit in our hearts also needs to be cleaned out daily. Notice one thing, of those of you who didn't come along when the Koreans were here, they started each prayer session, first of all, by, Father, clean my heart. I come before you. Reveal to me those things today that I have not honored you in. We actually should do, every single one of us, do that at the beginning and the end of every day. Fact of this, just, you know what? It keeps a clean account then. Father, whatever I've done today that hasn't honored you, reveal it to me, show me, help me to deal with it in Jesus' name. You know what? And once a fire is well prepared and lit, the best part can now occur. We either cook on it or we sit back and enjoy it. But we always maintain it by looking after it, feeding it with the right fuel. Otherwise, it will go out or not burn brightly. In Leviticus, the priests and those who tended the fire had to watch it and be patient while it consumed what had been offered up throughout the day. And the same is true in our hearts today. We need to at times just sit back and let the fire of God do its job in our lives. And once, you know what, when fires of revival are lit in a land, we need to sit back and keep on feeding those fires of revival. It would be a mistake of us now that the Koreans have come here and spent time in our church building praying that we sit back and go, hey, the Koreans have done a great job. Let's just enjoy what they've done. We enjoy what they've done by feeding the fire. By feeding the fire. They've come, they've added fire to the flames, they've caused a fire to burn brightly. Now it's our turn to ensure that it does not diminish or grow weak. They gave of themselves and as such they offered themselves their flesh by pressing on in prayer, even when their flesh was screaming out for rest and recreation. They still went ahead. They left us with a deposit of fresh fire and passion for prayer. So let it diminish or go out. It is our responsibility for it not to diminish or go out. This last week or so may not have seen the same intensity of prayer going on, but I do not believe for one moment that the fire has gone out. I don't believe that for one second that the fire has gone out at all. Anybody else? But we need to now add to the fire, to cause it to blaze as it needs to blaze. You know what? Whenever ground has been won by God, this is a reality that goes on. The enemy always comes in. Always he will come in. And with an attempt to put out the fires that have been lit. Whenever you and I take ground in our own lives, what happens? Opposition always comes. We need to face some realities where we live. We live in a place here in Waltham Abbey that has been dominated not by Christian spirituality. It has not been dominated. It has been dominated and is still dominated by an occultic spirituality. Alive and active. It is active in our schools. It is active in the shops. It is active throughout the community. Therefore, what needs to happen? We need to up the ante on the fire of God being more released in this area. That's fact, isn't it? It is not about for us to get the hoses out and put out the fire. It's about us actually to plug into some petrol tankers and put fires of petrol and diesel. Well, the fire just explodes, but put diesel onto it or whatever to cause it to roar and to get going. It needs us almost to tap into the gas fields underneath the ground. These huge gas fields and that have fires that just never, ever go out. It's our responsibility, guys. In our lives, let's deal with the issues that we allow to stop us from pressing on and pushing in. Perhaps it is our attitudes towards others. Maybe we're just spiritually lazy. We need to live with an attitude. Perhaps we need to live with an attitude of thanksgiving more in our lives. Perhaps the best way in all of this is to get praying. Is to just get on with it and pray. You know what? Because it all boils down to priorities. For 860 years, the fire burned on the altar of the Lord and it only stopped because they had worshipped other gods and idols and they walked in disobedience and lost their connection and their honor of God. See, whatever it takes our attention away from the Lord becomes an idol or another god in our lives. You know what? And he will not have any others come before him. Nothing. He will not put up with anything coming before him. If we truly want the fires of God to continue, not to just burn, but rather grow immeasurably, we must deal with whatever it keeps us away from pursuing after him. And at the end of the day, we need to pray. We need to pray. We need to deal with the flesh and we need to pray. We need to have our own personal life of prayer, first of all, relationship with God. But also as believers, we must get together and pray to call out to God for our families, for our towns, for our cities, for our nation, for believers around the world, for a great outpouring of God's fire, his presence and his power to change lives. You know what? I want to encourage you. I want to plead with you, actually. I don't want to encourage you. I wish I could demand it in some way, but I know I can't demand it, so I just want to encourage you and plead with you and ask of you, please get along on a Monday night. We've changed the format. We're following after the format of what the Koreans gave us. So that's what we're doing. We've been very specific about our praying on a Monday night. Sunday mornings, here from 9:30, in the room out the back, we come and pray. People come and pray for Sunday morning church. Set aside some time in your own day and actually seek the face of God for your family, for your neighbors, for your friends, for the town you live in, for the city that we are close part of, for our nation, for people who do not yet know God. Join with others and pray. Get along to other opportunities that will be coming along together. And hopefully next week we want to talk about other opportunities that we're going to get rolling here in the life of LVC. And perhaps, and you're sitting there and going, whoa, man, that's all. Okay, I hear you, Jeff, but I don't have any passion for that whatsoever. Here's a good trick I learned a long time ago with God. Lord, I need some of your passion. Please give me passion for this, because my flesh doesn't want to do it. Please help me out in Jesus' name. Amen. And then let's get on with it. Father, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, that you have lit fires. I thank you, Lord, for that which you have caused to burn, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you spoke to the priests of old and told them that the fire should burn continually on the altar and it should not ever be allowed to go out. Oh Lord, I ask that you would help us to be those today called as high priests in your kingdom because of Jesus Christ. That we would be men and women and boys and girls who would never let the fire go out. We would be those who would be prepared to put our flesh under, deal with those things that prevent us, that we allow to stop us from pressing in, that we would be those who would gather together and we would be fire starters, we'd be fire lighters, we would be fuelers of the fires of what you want to do, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Help us, I ask, Lord. Help us, I ask, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.